Hello and welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we spoke with Rainier Bredgens, MD, PhD, Deputy Director, Professor of Oncology, Chair of the Department of Medicine, and the Catherine Ann Gioia Endowed Chair in Cancer Medicine at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Dr. Bredgens joined us to speak about MCARH-109, a novel CAR T-cell therapy that targets the GPRC5D protein in patients with multiple myeloma. In a first-in-human Phase 1 dose escalation trial, the new agent induced a partial response or better in 12 of 17 patients. 8 patients were negative for minimal residual disease in bone marrow, and the response rate for those who were refractory to previous BCMA-targeting therapies was 70%. In today's podcast, Dr. Bredgens discussed targeting the enigmatic GPRC5D protein, safety results with MCARH-109, and the appropriate sequencing for the agent. Dr. Bredgens, good afternoon. Thanks for talking to us.
Good afternoon.
Very simply, can you take us through the research for MCARH-109?
That's the GPRC5D chimeric antigen receptor. Probably around 10 years ago, we started looking into finding cellular therapeutic targets for multiple myeloma, and we came upon 3 based on database research. BCMA, which is already currently FDA approved, and the second of the 3 was GPRC5D, which was an intriguing target because it's really nicely upregulated on multiple myeloma cells, but not expressed on most normal tissues, with some exceptions in the skin, for example. And we knew back then that we are likely going to have to go after more than one target. Our experience with CD19 CAR T cells was relapses with CD19 low and CD19 negative tumors. And so even from the initiation of our multiple myeloma program, we thought we would identify at least 2, if not 3, targets that we could go after for patients with multiple myeloma. And that's borne out since that time. BCMA targeted CAR T cells are now approved by the FDA, but the durability of the responses is limited. And so for that reason, we decided to explore our second target, GPRC5D, which we validated in preclinical studies and tested that in patients with multiply relapsed multiple myeloma. And significantly, a large number of the patients, or a significant number of the patients in this small phase 1 study, had previously been treated with BCMA-targeted CAR T cells. They had relapsed or been refractory to BCMA-targeted CAR T-cells, and yet we were still able to initiate or demonstrate meaningfully clinical responses using the GPRC5B CAR T-cells, meaning that we now actually have 2 targets for patients with multiple myeloma rather than just the 1. And we can start to potentially explore giving 2 populations targeted to different antigens on the multiple myeloma tumor cell, either sequentially or concurrently, which is really exciting to potentially utilize this dual targeted approach to get more durable and long-term remissions in our patients.
It's typical that patients will relapse following BCMA therapy, and there's not a whole lot of options post-relapse. So does this give you a new avenue for treating these patients who are refractory to these agents?
So the BCMA targeted CAR T cells do show very good response rates. But again, as you point out, they tend not to be durable and patients tend to over time relapse. And so this does indeed give an additional option on top of other therapeutic strategies for multiple myeloma to have beneficial clinical effect. Now, remember, this is a very small phase 1 study. We treated a total of 17 patients. But what was significant to us when we opened the trial is that we needed to be sure that we had patients that had relapsed after receiving BCMA CAR T cells. And that's indeed what we did. And we could indeed demonstrate that a majority of these patients still had clinical benefit despite the fact that they were treated with similar but differently targeted CAR T cells.
Would you foresee this as concurrent therapy with BCMA or as a second line following relapse?
You know, this is a small study and additional studies will be necessary to get FDA approved. Because the numbers need to be more robust. But the data that we have so far is very promising. Now, where do we go from here? I think that any clinician would love to test the hypothesis of treating patients with both CAR T cell populations concurrently to see if you can get more durable long-term remissions. But at the very least, patients that have relapsed after treatment with one of the CAR T cell populations still have a reasonable chance of getting a clinically meaningful benefit from being treated with the other CAR T cell population.
Put this in context, because like you say, this is a small population, but it did have strong results. So where do we go from these findings?
From an FDA standpoint, you do a phase 2 trial, as they've done to get FDA approval for many of the other CAR T cell products that are currently available, to get this FDA approved so that patient populations can have access to these CAR T cells outside of the setting of a clinical trial. I would imagine that industry would be very much focused on getting FDA approval. And I think that we as investigators, clinical investigators, would be very interested in doing the combination strategies or seeing whether sequential one versus the other might give more durable responses.
GPR C5D was described as an enigmatic cell protein. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it means we don't really know what it does. But, you know, in the world of cell therapy, you know, we tend to focus on targets in an agnostic kind of way. Obviously, the target you're going after is critical for tumor cell survival. That's even better. But sometimes what we're looking for is just a bullseye that isn't expressed on normal tissues. And so that's how we do an initial screening. If we had 20 different targets, we would obviously be more selective about which target we go after. But in this case, we found a target that was expressed very highly on tumor cells and not expressed in any meaningful way on vital tissues, normal tissues. And so at this stage of the game, that's really what makes up a worthwhile target to explore further for CAR T cell technologies.
You mentioned that this protein isn't very much expressed on normal cells. So what does that mean as far as safety? I think you saw one incidence of grade 3 or higher cytokine release syndrome.
Yeah, so cytokine release syndrome, well, it's obviously a safety concern because it means that there's a meaningful immune response occurring in the patient. And so we have developed algorithms to help manage patients that undergo cytokine release. So that's encouraging. Really, the biggest concern when you go after a new target is it expressed on tissues that we didn't anticipate or we didn't see? And, you know, we saw skin changes, nail bed changes, et cetera, that we would have predicted based on what we knew, but they were very manageable and largely reversible. I think that larger populations of patients need to be studied to really further verify that there isn't expression on vital tissues that we might not have anticipated. Certainly at the dose that we plan to treat patients in our phase 2 trial.
Have you initiated that phase 2 trial yet?
That phase 2 trial has been initiated, yes. That trial is being conducted by BMS.
How long is the follow-up on these patients? I think it said 2 patients are still disease-free after more than a year of treatment.
Yeah, it doesn't preclude the possibility that those patients might still relapse, but the follow-up is relatively short, and that's largely due to the fact that we accrued patients so quickly that we were able to shut the trial down and meet its primary endpoint, which is to assess for toxicity and to determine the optimal dose to move forward to phase 2. And so there's no doubt that we will continue, because these are the first patients that were ever treated with this CAR T cell product. We will continue to follow up and report on how these patients do longer term.
It is obviously a small population, but are you pleased so far with what you've seen as far as the follow-up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what I found most encouraging, and what we and Dr. Malincody and Dr. Smith, who are the main movers of this work, were keen to see is what happens to patients that were treated with FDA-approved BCMA-targeted CAR T cells. And we may not have an absolute answer, but we have a pretty good glimpse into the fact that this CAR T cell offers those particular patients who may not have a lot of treatment options left an additional option. You know, that is extremely satisfying. And the overall numbers, the overall response rates are also very impressive and very encouraging and very rewarding. You don't often get these types of responses in patients that are so heavily pretreated.
Obviously, this is proceeding to, or has proceeded to, a phase 2 study. But what else have you learned from this trial that you think you can parlay into other treatment?
Oh, I think it's another step forward for CAR T-cell therapy, showing that there isn't just like some unicorn targets that you can go after. It's perfectly viable to start exploring published databases for antigen and protein expressions on tumor cells and can derive very useful information as far as developing clinical programs around those identified targets if the proper preclinical studies have been done. What's more exciting about this is this, to the best of my knowledge, is the first time that we really have identified two targets on one tumor cell, both of which demonstrate really promising and significant responses. That really begs the question of, if we put the two populations together, will there be a synergistic benefit when assessing duration, durability of response? So that's really the exciting part. It's exciting because we have something new to offer our patients, which we hope ultimately will be FDA approved. What's scientifically exciting is that we now have two populations of targeted cells, which we think we can now feasibly treat patients concomitantly with potentially. And that is very exciting. And I think that will certainly help set a standard for, or a proof of principle for other malignancies that we will target with CAR T cells, including solid tumor malignancies. So it really is a significant step forward in the field. And it's still to be seen how meaningful this is, whether it's an opportunity to prolong responses with sequential therapy or potentially enhance responses.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again to my guest, Dr. Rainier Bregenz, and thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.